One of the fundamental challenges of our time is building an economy where everyone gets a fair shot, everybody does their fair share, and everybody plays by the same set of rules. And as many Americans rush to file their taxes this weekend, it's worth pointing out that we've got a tax system that doesn't always uphold the principle of everybody doing their part. Now, this is not just about fairness. This is also about growth. It's about being able to make the investments we need to strengthen our economy and create jobs. And it's about whether we as a country are willing to pay for those investments. In a perfect world, of course, none of us would have to pay any taxes. We'd have no deficits to pay down, and we'd have all the resources we needed to invest in things like schools and roads and a strong military and new sources of energy, investments that have always bolstered our economy and strengthened the middle class. But we live in the real world, with real choices and real consequences. Right now, we've got significant deficits to close. We've got serious investments to make to keep our economy growing. And we can't afford to keep spending more money on tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans who don't need them and didn't even ask for them. Warren Buffett is one of the world's wealthiest men, but he pays a lower tax rate than his secretary. That's just the way the system is set up. In fact, 1 in 4 millionaires pays a lower tax rate than millions of hardworking middle-class households. As Warren points out, that's not fair, and it doesn't make sense. It's wrong that middle-class Americans pay a higher share of their income in taxes than some millionaires and billionaires. Now, this week, members of Congress are going to have a chance to set things right. They get to vote on what we call the Buffett Rule. It's simple. If you make more than $1 million every year, you should pay at least the same percentage of your income in taxes as middle-class families do. On the other hand, if you make less than $250,000 a year, like 98% of American families do, your taxes shouldn't go up. That's all there is to it. It's pretty sensible. Most Americans support this idea. One survey found that 2/3 of millionaires do too. So do nearly half of all Republicans. We just need some Republican politicians to get on board with where the country is. I know they'll say that this is all about wanting to raise people's taxes. They probably won't tell you that if you belong to a middle-class family, then I've cut your taxes each year that I've been in office, and I've cut taxes for small business owners 17 times. But the thing is, for most Americans like me, tax rates are near their lowest point in 50 years. In 2001 and 2003, the wealthiest Americans received 2 huge new tax cuts. We were told these tax cuts would lead to faster job growth. Instead, we got the slowest job growth in half a century, and the typical American family actually saw its income fall. On the flip side, when the most well-off Americans were asked to pay a little more in the 1990s, we were warned that it would kill jobs. Instead, tens of millions of jobs followed. So we've tried this trickle-down experiment before. It doesn't work, and middle-class families have seen too much of their security eroded over the past few decades for us to tell them they're going to have to do more because the wealthiest Americans are going to do less. We can't stop investing in the things that will help grow our economy and create jobs, things like education, research, new sources of energy, just so folks like me can get another tax cut. So I hope you'll ask your member of Congress to step up and echo that call this week by voting for the Buffett Rule. Remind them that in America, prosperity has never just trickled down from a wealthy few. Prosperity has always been built by a strong, thriving middle class. That's a principle worth reaffirming right now. Thanks. God bless you and have a great weekend.
Hey, I'm Fred Upton. I proudly represent Southwest Michigan in the U.S. House of Representatives, where I serve as chairman of the Committee on Energy and Commerce. Our committee oversees national energy policy, a topic on the minds of millions of Americans grappling with higher gasoline prices. Vice President Biden recently said that our energy policy is the best that it's ever been, but the facts say otherwise. Last year, we produced 100 million barrels less on federal lands than we did the year before. The president rejected the Keystone XL pipeline, which would have decreased our dependence on oil from unstable regions of the world. And heavy-handed federal agencies are adding new layers of regulations on the energy sector, pushing prices only higher. In many ways, this administration's policies are indeed moving us backwards and making gas prices even worse. For families and small businesses here in Michigan and around the country, higher energy prices have real consequences. Everything from their daily commute to the grocery bill is getting more expensive. And higher energy prices mean fewer jobs. In a few days, our committee will consider two bills that are part of our American Energy Initiative, a bipartisan alternative to this administration's failed energy policy. In the House, Republicans have already passed a number of common sense bills to address rising energy prices and create the jobs that we need. And so far, these bills are being blocked by the Democratic-controlled Senate. But we're not going to stop until they start listening to the American people. This week, I toured a Michigan oil refinery where I heard firsthand how layers of red tape are making it harder and more expensive to refine and sell fuel here in America. The first of our committee measures pushes the pause button on costly new regs affecting refineries until we study them all to determine how much they're driving up the price at the pump. Cutting through the red tape is part of the equation, but we have to address supply. President Obama tapped into our emergency oil supply known as the Strategic Petroleum Reserve last year, and he's thinking about doing it again. But that is not a real solution to rising gas prices. If we deplete our reserves, it indeed is a real threat to our energy security. The second bill that we're going to soon consider says that if the president releases oil from our emergency reserves, he must open up more federal land for energy development. Energy could be a great American success story. We are a land of abundant resources and unparalleled human creativity. Technological breakthroughs are helping us unlock vast energy resources that were previously inaccessible, and we are doing it in an environmentally safe way. Today, we're knocking at the door of a brighter energy future, one that promises abundant, secure, and cheaper North American supplies as long as Washington doesn't create artificial obstacles. That is what Republicans are working towards, and we invite the president to join us. If he won't lead, we will. Affordable energy is essential to job creation and economic recovery. We need it to fuel our vehicles, power our homes, rev up our economic engine. The American Energy Initiative captures that spirit of optimism. It's a better solution to power our future. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.